Hey, this is Derek Wooten. I'm lead pastor of Makers Church here in Cincinnati, Ohio, where our desire is to make disciples and make a difference. Thank you so much for joining us through our podcast. We pray this message speaks life and encouragement into you and what God is doing in your life. Hope you enjoy it.
I'm excited to continue our series, Just Like Jesus, and we've been looking at this initiative that God has given us as a church family, as a body together, entitled Greater Than 20. Somebody look to your neighbor and say, Greater Than 20. Come on. We're going to keep unpacking that today. And listen, these messages have been super, super challenging, haven't they? How many of you guys know that's a good thing, though? God is not interested in our comfort. And so what does he do? He will allow his word to challenge us, to continue to change us, to be the people that he wants us to be. And so I believe as we're being challenged, our response doesn't need to be, I'm tired of being challenged, but Lord, keep challenging me till I've become everything you want me to be. So I want us to pray and just invite the Lord here today that as we're challenged, that we know that he loves us, he's here for us, and he wants more for us. Can I tell you, there's one person that wants more for your life even more than you do. You know who it is? It's our Father. It's our Heavenly Father. So go ahead, open up your hands just like this. We're going to pray together, then we're going to get into the Word. Father, thank you so much, Lord, for your presence that's here today. God, thank you for this amazing body. God, this living organism, God, this movement called Makers Church. God, it is our privilege, Lord, to know that you're the head of this body. And God, that we are together, Lord, God, walking to fulfill every assignment and calling and purpose that you've placed on each of us, God, and all of us, even together. Lord, in this region and city, this beautiful place called Cincinnati. And Lord, today as we've come, Lord, may your ear, God, may your word be open and real and alive. May our ears be softened, God, and open to hear what you are saying today. And may it continue to challenge us and change us that we may see your will done, God, in our lives, through this house, and in our city. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Come on, if you're ready, somebody shout amen. Amen. Come on, let's get into the word together. Today we're excited. Forgive us, it is a little warm in here. One of our thermostats went down, but the devil is a liar. We'll get that fixed as soon as we can. Otherwise, just be thankful that one of them's still working. Come on, somebody. But we're excited to get into the word. It's summertime, and I'm excited that we can continue to talk about this today. But we're in this series, Just Like Jesus, and we were talking about the Greater Than 20 movement. I want to start here, 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. This has been our base text for the last several weeks. 1 John 2, 6, here's what the Bible says. It says, those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. What does that mean? That means we are to live just like Jesus. We are to live just like Jesus, kind of like Jesus, 50% like Jesus, just like Jesus. We are to live just like Jesus. And we have seen and understood, church, that that command, listen, that command for God's word, listen, it is for each of us and all of us. It's not for some of us. It is for each of us and all of us, just like Jesus, that we must live on the earth just like Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is our example. How many of you guys know he's our example? He's our example. And listen, I'll go further. Not only is he our example, Jesus is our standard. Everybody say, Jesus is our standard. Jesus is our standard. So that means we, the church, the bride of Christ, we are supposed to be his reflection and representation in the earth. Think about that. We are supposed to be the reflection and representation of Jesus in the earth. That is what God has asked us and commanded us to do. And so really, instead of fighting it, we just, you know what we need to do? We need to say yes. Yes, Lord, we will be your representation and reflection in the earth. So we see that we have been commanded to be just like Jesus. And with that understanding, church, we have unveiled a strategy from heaven for each of us and all of us here at Makers for the second half of this year called Greater Than 20, the Greater Than 20 movement. Go ahead and find one more person. Look at them and say, I'm greater than 20. Come on, tell them. Say, I'm greater than 20. Come on, we got to get that into our spirits because listen, when this series is over, you're still going to hear it because it's not just for now, it's for as we move forward together as we become greater than 20 in Jesus' name. But we can see we've learned about this strategy and we've been looking at something called the 80-20 principle. The 80-20 principle, and what's the premise? If you haven't been here, I'm catching you up to speed. And if you have been here, I'm reminding you because we forget easy, okay? This premise, this 100-year-old principle, it's been seen at macro and micro levels. And here it is. It's that a minority, usually 20%, a minority typically creates a majority, no matter what setting or environment. A minority typically creates a majority. And so I'll give you a couple examples because I think this is important. 20% of products bring 80% of the profit. That's an example. Or 20% of salespeople make 80% of the sales in a company. Those are examples of what the 80-20 principle looks like. But what we've seen is that this 80-20 principle hasn't just been in places like businesses or other organizations. It's found its way into the church. It's found its way into the church at large. Pastor Hal, let me show you. Because 20% of the church body makes up 80% of the volunteer base. 20%, listen, 20% of a church's givers make up 80% of a church's total budget. It goes further. 80% of a church's leadership efforts come from 20% of the leaders. 80% of outreach and serving in the community is done by 20% of the body. You say, well, Pastor, what's the problem? Here's the problem. The 80-20 principle should not be seen in the church. It shouldn't be seen in the church. Pastor, why? Because the 80-20 principle is not a kingdom principle. And what we have to catch and understand, if it's not a kingdom principle, why is it operating in the body of Christ? Why is it operating in the body of Christ? What we have to catch and see during this time is understanding this, is that we have to recognize that we are not supposed to be a part of the statistic, but we are supposed to be the standard in the earth. Come on, somebody. We're supposed to be the standard in the earth. How many of you guys know the Bible says we've been made different? Jesus has made us new and he has made us different. Jesus even told his disciples in Mark chapter 10, he said, you need to lead by a different model. You need to lead by a different model. What model is that, church? The model is this, is that we should never be aligned or defined by a worldly principle. We should never be the statistic, but just like Jesus, we should be the standard in the earth. Come on now. Just like Jesus, we should be the standard in the earth. Why? Because Jesus is our standard. So you know what? The 80-20 principle is fine for every organization, every business, every institution, but the kingdom of God is none of those things because we are not any of those things. We're a family and we're an army. We're a family and an army. Come on, find three people in your neighborhood and say, hey, fam, come on, tell them. Hey, fam, we're a family and an army. And guess what? In a family and in an army, each and every person has a role to play. Each and every person has a part to be a part of. In fact, the Bible actually says this. 1 Corinthians 12, we find that Jesus says we are the body and he is the head of the body. Let me show you a couple of scriptures right here. 1 Corinthians 12, God's design for his church says, just as the human body is one, though it has many parts that together form one body, so too is Christ. Then we go to verse 20. So now we see that there are many differing parts and functions, but how many bodies? One body. Many differing parts and functions, but one body. And then we go to verse 27. Oh, I'm sorry, verse 25. Verse 25. Go to verse 25 first. It says, he has done this intentionally so that every member would look after the others with mutual concern and so that there will be division. so there will be no division in the body. You know why so many churches are divided? Because people don't treat each other like family. Because we don't honor each other the way God said we're supposed to honor each other. He said, but you understand, I've done it this way, so there'll be no division in the body. And then verse 27, you are the body of Jesus, and each of you, everybody say me. Each of you, each of us is a unique and vital part of it. See that? Every member, each of us, are a vital and unique part. So I'm gonna make the declaration that I've made the last 2 weeks over this house together. Go ahead, if you got that, put it on the screen and you can even say it with me if they get it. I'm gonna say whether they put it up there or not. Here it is, you ready? Makers Church will not be defined by a statistic and principle known as 80-20, but by the standard and person known as Jesus. Come on, say that with me right now, you ready? Makers Church will not be defined by a statistic and principle known as 80-20, but by the standard and person known as Jesus. Man, if you come into agreement with that, come on, give the Lord praise. Man, that's who we are. That's who we are. So what does that mean, church? That means we say yes to being greater than 20. That means we say we are not the statistic. We are the standard. We are not just consumers. We are contributors. We're not takers. We're makers. Come on, somebody. And we are one body doing supernatural things for the kingdom of God in the earth. That's what we've been talking about. That's what we want to say yes to in the second half of this year, even going to 2023. We want to be greater than 20. We want to be greater than 20. And we've looked at this strategy and we've been unpacking the components. There's four different components. We've looked at the first two so far. We've looked at sharing and we've looked at serving. Today we're going to look at shining. And for those of you that do things in order, just chill out for a minute, okay? I know shining's at the bottom. You're like, whoa, sewing. No, we're talking about shining today. Just relax. Don't get hives. Just breathe. Everything's good. We're talking about shining today. But you say, Pastor, why are all four of those important? All four of those are important because of this. Two of those, sharing and serving. Listen, serving and sowing are in the house. When we gather together, those are things that happen in the house when we gather right here at Makers Church, all right? But sharing and shining, those things happen when we leave Makers Church. Those things happen not just when we gather on a Sunday or a Wednesday, but on every other day that we're not here. That's so important because we have to understand something. When we gather, it is important. But when we leave here and we go into the world, that's important also. We're not called to be God's people twice a week. Come on, somebody. We're called to be the people of God every day that we live. No matter what setting or environment, we're supposed to be the representation and reflection of Jesus. And so we've been looking at this principle, and I'm so excited about it because the truth is when we see this, this has nothing to do with our church getting bigger. This has everything to do with our church getting stronger. Everything to do with our church getting stronger in Jesus' name. This entire movement has everything to do with us continuing to become disciples of Jesus. And listen, not just us, but people that we can touch with the gospel of the kingdom, people that we can share to, people that we can see become disciples just like we're disciples. How many of you guys know there are thousands of people on the east side of Cincinnati that don't know Jesus? Whose responsibility is to go and get them? It's the body of Christ. We must say yes to saying, just like we've encountered Jesus, they need Jesus. And listen to me, you're not gonna reach them by arguing with them on Facebook about politics. Here, I'll stay up here and I'll look this way if you want. We're going to reach them by loving them right where they are, not condemning them, not saying, I disagree with you. Listen, let it go and love them. And when the time is right, you can speak truth to them, but you can also have love for them at the same time. We got to reach people. We've got to be committed to saying, it's not just about us. All of this is for us, but it's not about us. It's about the kingdom. It's about seeing Jesus exalted and us doing everything we can to fulfill the vision that God's given us at Makers. Make disciples and make a difference. Make disciples. Everybody say, make disciples and make a difference. This greater than 20 movement helps us be committed to both of those in every part of our lives. So let's talk about it. So we've seen over the last couple weeks, we've talked about sharing and we've talked about serving. Now sharing, we talked about sharing your faith, sharing about your church with words and actions, inviting people to attend something church related. Pastor, why is it important that we share about our church? Because if people don't know there's a loving family to be a part of, they're not gonna be a part of that loving family. They need him. Sharing about your faith. And listen, sharing about Jesus every opportunity that you get. And how many of you guys know sometimes sharing Jesus has nothing to do with your words, but everything to do with the way that you live your life? Sharing. And here's what I'm going to tell you. Next week here at Makers on Independence Day weekend, July 3rd, right here, we're going to be giving some ways, some fresh stuff for you to continue to share. Everybody next week, we're giving out free Makers apparel next weekend right here at Makers Church. I am super excited, not just because I helped design it, but I am super excited because it's something that we can just continue to let people know. There's a place that they can come that they're loved and they're accepted and they are not judged. Come on, somebody. That's what they can experience here at Makers, okay? And listen, here's what's cool. We know it's 4th of July weekend, so we're giving away some free t-shirts for everybody that's here. If you say, Pastor, I'm not here next weekend, well, it's gonna cost you 10 bucks. I'm just kidding. You can get it when you get back. We want you to come and wear our Maker stuff. That's awesome. But we're also gonna be doing something cool. We're building some packs of goodies, some s'more ingredients for you to take. Listen, they're gonna be packed together, some s'more stuff and a pack of sparklers. We're gonna be giving those away to families. And listen, you're giving them, you're being blessed with them to be a blessing to someone else. We want you to find people in your neighborhood or your neighbors and just say, listen, happy 4th of July for Makers Church. That's all we want you to do. I'm not asking you to try to lead them to the Lord right then or lay hands on them because they might lay hands on you in a different way. You need to be careful. All we're asking you to do is say, hey, bless you, happy 4th of July. And they're gonna know that they're loved, not just by you, but by this amazing family called Makers Church. And so that's happening next week. Be here. It's going to be a powerful day together. So we talked about sharing. Last week, we talked about serving. Anybody thankful that you get a chance to serve? That serving's not an obligation, it's an opportunity. Last week we talked about serving. We talked about what it means to have a servant's heart and how we are supposed to together, we are supposed to be people that serve each other with the gifts that God has given us. How many of you know God gave us gifts? He gave us the gift of Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit, who is also God, has given us spiritual gifts, not to shine as stars, but to serve one another in love. And so we've talked about serving, and listen, there are opportunities for you to serve. I made a statement last week that I believe is so important. Why would we ever let our family suffer when we could help our family be strengthened? Why? How many of you guys know we're a growing family? We're a growing family. Listen, we did a poll a couple weeks ago, a survey a couple weeks ago. We know we have to go to two services. Even in the middle of summer, we are packed and overflowing. We know that. We're going to two services. If you wanna go ahead and mark it down now, I will tell you the results of that survey. Does anybody wanna know? Come back next week. I'm just kidding, I'll tell you today. I'm just kidding, I'll tell you today. But that would have been a good one. Starting August 7th, everybody say August 7th. We're gonna enjoy our summer. Everybody's got their plans, different things. August 7th, we're moving to two morning services here at Makers, okay? And based on the results of the people, we did not doctor these at all, okay? I voted 45 times, but we did not doctor these. We didn't doctor these at all. Based on what we've heard, here's what we heard. The two service times where people said, listen, we'll attend, we'll serve. These are the times we're gonna come, 8:45 and 11 o'clock. Okay, if you did not vote for that one, guess what? We still love you, but you gotta love us. The Bible says so, you gotta do it. But 8:45, August 7th, everybody say August 7th. August 7th, 8:45 and 11 o'clock. Those are gonna be the service times at Makers. Listen, don't tell somebody that before August 7th because they're gonna show up, ain't nobody gonna be here. Don't tell them that. 8:45 and 11 o'clock, when? August 7th, August 7th, those services kick off. You say, well, Pastor, we're gonna have more room. Exactly. You're gonna have more room so we can fill it with people that need Jesus. And guess what? Since we're greater than 20, we're going to be sharing with people about who Jesus is and about how they can find a loving family here at Maker's Church. And we're going to come together and we're going to see God do supernatural things in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. So we've talked about serving. We've talked about sharing. But today, oh, and by the way, you heard it in the announcements. There is a serving opportunity wall in the foyer. All the different places you can get involved and serve here at Makers. Please go check that out. You're not committing to anything by checking it out. But if you're ready to jump in, you can scan a QR code. You can see somebody at our Connect Center. They'll give you information. We just want to continue to say yes to being greater than 20 in our serving as well. Amen? Amen. So today I want to talk about shining. Everybody say shining. Let me ask this question. How many of you guys know that just like we're supposed to share and serve, we're also supposed to shine? We're also supposed to shine. Let me give you Bible, unless you think I'm crazy, okay? Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. This is Jesus talking. I think anytime Jesus says something, we should pay attention. How about you? Okay, good. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. Here's what the Bible says. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." Everybody say, "I am the light of the world." Is it your light? It's Him shining in you and through you. Go ahead, listen, look to your neighbor and say, "Shine on." Come on, tell them, "Shine on, shine on." You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone. How many people? Everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds what? Shine. Let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that how many people? So that everyone will praise you. Will praise your heavenly Father. I'm gonna make it abundantly clear and probably irritate some people. The season of church celebrities is over. We're not here to become famous. Nobody is supposed to be a superstar in the kingdom except the bright and morning star whose name is Jesus. But we are supposed to shine in the world for the kingdom. Because when we are bright with who Jesus is, they see who we are and what we do, and then they will praise and glorify our Father who is in heaven. Come on, somebody say, "I was made to shine." Come on. Come on, we were made to shine. And so I want us to see this. This is so important because just like we were created to share and to serve, we were also created to shine. So we're the light. So let me ask a question. If you're not shining, who is? If you're not shining, who is? You say, "Well, Pastor, how do you shine? Through your good works. Are you shining so you get praised?" No, we shine so He can get praised. They see what we do and they see our God. And so let's talk about this. When we say shining in the greater than 20 movement, that we're gonna be greater than 20 in how we shine for the kingdom, here's what it means. It means this: shining the light of Jesus through our good works in the world which Jesus sent us into. Very simple. Very simple. Shining the light of Jesus through your good works in the world which Jesus sent us into. Now, we're gonna talk about that in a minute, but I need you to understand something. God absolutely sent Jesus to the earth. How many of you guys know that? I'm gonna show you from John 17 in a minute. The Father sent Jesus to the earth. And did you know that Jesus sent us into the earth before He went back to heaven? That was the command and the prayer that He asked the Father. He said, "Just as you are sending me, I am sending them into the world." Now, I'm probably gonna break some of your guys' religious beliefs today because some people have been taught incorrectly about what it means to be a believer in the earth. But I need us to hear today, we were created to shine. We were created to shine. And so as we can see this, so what does that mean? Shine through your good works. That means from local outreach, like serving in Serve Cincy here at Makers through our mobile food pantry or different things, maybe joining one of our ministry partners, which we'll talk about. How about international missions, being a part of what God's doing around the world, even down to this, even down to getting into the place of societal influence that God has either placed you already or desires for you to go. That's what it means to shine. That's what it means to shine and do those things. Now, let me ask this question as we continue to move forward. Any of the things I just mentioned, from outreach to missions to what you do in your job or occupation, is any of that done while you're right here? No. Any of those things, none of those things are done while you're here on our church campus. It's when you go into the world. It's when you go, somebody say, into the world. It's when you go into the world, listen, into our community, into our city, listen, and into the places of societal and cultural influence. See, this is why being greater than 20 is shining. It's just as important than being greater than 20 in serving. Because so many believers have only heard about serving when the saints gather on Sundays and Wednesdays. I don't know about you, I lived my life through most of my life growing up in churches where the greatest thing you could do was just serve when the saints gathered. That was like the peak. That's the greatest thing you do. How many of you guys know serving is important? But that's not the only thing you're supposed to do. It's not the only, that's not the fullness of the assignment as a believer. Why? Because listen, the majority of Christians, now hear me, and I'm not talking to any of you. Note the sarcasm, that's a spiritual gift, chill out. I'm just kidding. The majority of Christians, so many people, so many good people, so many people that really love Jesus, they live these segregated lives where they say, we just have to survive this evil, dark world until Jesus comes back and gets us. So many good people that have encountered Jesus, that's all they've ever heard in the churches that they've been a part of. We just have to survive this dark world until Jesus comes back and gets us. So many Christians say, well, we really can't influence or change anyone or anything, so we just need to tie a knot and hang on. Have you ever met anybody like that? I've met a lot of people like that because that's been so much of what the church has been so rapture focused. By the way, I believe the rapture exists and I believe it will happen. Anybody want to go to heaven? Well, if you don't want to die, that's the way you're going to go, through the rapture. But if you do die, you go to heaven. Amen. Okay. Listen, we got so focused on just surviving and eking through that we have missed the assignment that God has given each of us to be a light in a dark world, to be the voice of hope and love and truth in places where it's needed on a consistent basis. So hear me today, because this is so important. Some of you have never heard this in this way, but I want you to catch it. It's so crucial, church. Jesus did not say, you just need to hide out in the church building until I get back. Jesus didn't say, just love other Christians and be kind to them and let the world do its thing. Jesus said the opposite. Did you know that? Rather than saying, stay away from the world, he said, get into the world and shine bright for the kingdom and make disciples and make a difference. That's what Jesus commanded us to do. That's what Jesus told us to do. He said, go into the world. See, just like you were saved by Jesus to serve, you have also been sent by Jesus to shine. Just like you were saved by Jesus to serve, you have been sent by Jesus to shine. Let me show you from the book that is infallible and is the source of absolute and eternal truth. That's the Bible, if you're wondering. Let me show you from the Bible, John 17, verses 15 through 19. This is where Jesus is praying to the Father before he is arrested and crucified. Here's what he says. He says, Father, I'm not asking you to take them out of the world. You see that? I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but to keep them safe from the evil one. They do not belong to the world. Now, that's noted right here. How many of you guys know that's where we can talk about we are in this world, but not of this world? They do not belong to this world any more than I do. Make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. Just as you sent me into the world, I am sending them into the world. Take a minute and breathe that in. Jesus said, just as you sent me into the world, I am sending them into the world. So let me go ahead and help us. You're not in this world on accident. You're not being punished for being on the earth. Listen, you were made to be on the earth. You were made to be here. And then notice what Jesus says. He says, now, Father, while they're there, keep them safe. Is anybody thankful for a God that keeps us safe? He said, Father, while they're there, keep them safe. But then he prays, just as you sent me, Father, I'm sending them. This is huge, church. Just like Jesus, you have been sent into the world. Just like Jesus, you have been sent into the world. Okay, see it from the text. Did Jesus say, I'm sending them into a church building and to hide until I come back? Did he say that? No. Listen, we need to let some good folks know that hiding and hanging on until Jesus comes back is not what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. I know that's strong, but it's the truth. We need to let people know that they've lived an escapism mentality with Christianity. That is not the kingdom assignment on your life. Your assignment is to go into the world and shine so people can see who you are in Christ and give praise to our Heavenly Father. That's not just some of our assignments. That's all of our assignments. That's for each of us and all of us. Somebody say, it's for me. Come on, it's for me. That's for each of us and all of us. Jesus did not send us into this world to survive, but to thrive. See that? You say, okay, well, Pastor, why did the Father send Jesus into the world? For two reasons. He had an eternal assignment to become the Passover lamb for all of humanity, and so he could restore relationship between humans and God. That was an eternal assignment that Jesus had. But did you know Jesus also had an earthly assignment? While he was here in earth, he was here to establish the culture of heaven back onto the earth. Listen, he came to bring heaven back down to earth, to begin for people to see that the systems of the world are broken and evil, but everything in the kingdom is right and wonderful. He had an earthly assignment, and he fulfilled that assignment too. Well, guess what? Just like Jesus, we have an eternal and an earthly assignment. Do you know what our eternal assignment is? To make disciples. Matthew 28. When we become disciples, our assignment is to go and make disciples. If you believe that, say amen. But we also have an earthly assignment. Do you know what it is? To finish what Jesus started, to keep bringing heaven down to earth. To keep establishing the culture of the kingdom everywhere that we go in our lives. And I'm going to tell you something. That does not mean that you just go to church on Sundays. Too strong? It's more than going to church. It's more than being a part of discipleship or small groups. All those things are wonderful, but guess what? How many of you guys know when you're a light and you're always around light, all the light does is just join together and kind of washes everything out? I've given this example before. Have you ever turned a flashlight on and pointed it to the sun? Where'd the light go? It got absorbed by another, a bigger, stronger light. Most of the time, Christians live their lives, and all they're doing is shining their light with other Christians. And so the light, where it should be shining in darkness, is only with light all the time. He said, I want you to go into places where there is worldly culture, where there is influence, not by me, but by the things of the world. And I want you to go in and be my light in the darkness. I want you to go into places of societal influence, and I want you to influence society for the kingdom. I want you to be a light in the darkness. Look to your neighbor and say, shine on. Come on, tell them, shine on. Now, here's what's crazy. Remember my phone analogy from last week? Remember how I talked about how these little sweet pieces of technology, when they get to 20%, they go into something called low power mode, and how it only gets out of low power mode when you charge it back up to randomly 80%. Remember that? And how when it goes to 20%, all of a sudden the features and the functions and the characteristics that make this thing so awesome, you start to lose some of them, because rather than thriving, it just tries to survive on what's left. Remember that? Do you know one of the biggest things that gets disabled when this phone goes into low power mode is the brightness gets turned down. The brightness goes down. What's supposed to have this incredible LED screen and brightness, like, look, this thing is so bright, most of you can probably see it, unless it's shining in the light, which proves my other point, so there you go. But when it goes into low power mode, it's supposed to be bright, but it gets dimmed. May I submit to you today that the church, because we are in low power mode, we're nowhere near as bright as we're supposed to be. We're nowhere near as bright as we could be. Why? Because instead of being the standard, we've stayed the statistic. Instead of being the ones that lead the way, we're hanging on. We've tied a knot and hung on and said, we can't make a difference in our community. We can't make a difference in our city. We just need to wait in the church until Jesus gets back. That is wrong. Come on, somebody. That is not the word of God. That's not the command of Jesus. If you've heard that before, someone did not understand the assignment God had given them. Because for each of us and all of us, we are the light of the world. We're supposed to go into the world and shine bright with the things that we do, no matter where we are, so people can see them and glorify our Father who is in heaven. If you believe that, somebody say amen. But the harsh reality is that 20% of the church is doing 80% of the shining. Come on. Is that us? Is that for us? Not here. If there's another movement that wants to do that, I don't want them to, but that's their choice. Here, we're committed to being greater than 20. Come on. We're committed to being greater than 20. So we're not gonna have 20% of our body shining bright and the other 80% saying, let somebody else do it. We wanna shine brightly together for the kingdom of God. We wanna shine, somebody say shine. We wanna shine brightly for the kingdom of God. Okay, Pastor, you've convinced me. How do I shine? Let's start and just talk for a minute. Listen, if you want to shine, it starts by you stepping into something that you're probably not already doing. Be a part of something that doesn't just gather here. Come on, somebody. Go join. Listen, you can go right now to our information wall that's right there. You can't miss it, to the deploy section of our mission. We want to deploy leaders into the world for the kingdom. You can see all about our serve Cincy team, our outreaches, our mobile food pantry that goes out every week. You can see stuff about our ministry partners that do stuff downtown. Listen, we partner with someone called a Caring Place. They're just a pregnancy help center. How many of you guys know they're about to need more volunteers? they're going to need the prayers and the support of the body of Christ. Why? Because there's going to be more people keeping their baby in Jesus' name. We have to understand how we make a difference, how we let the culture of the kingdom not just be established when we gather on a church campus, but established in the world is when we get into the world and shine for the kingdom. If you believe it, say amen. That's a simple way. Get involved in missions. International missions, local missions, there's so many things that we can help and equip you be a part of that's just more than gathering right here. Again, let me say it. If you stay in low power mode, you'll never be as bright as God designed you to be. You'll never be as bright as God wants you to be. There are so many people that live in the dark and they don't even know it. You wanna know why they don't know it? Because it's been a long time since they've seen the light. But when you shine in the world, all of a sudden, there's light that overtakes the darkness. There's light that brings hope. There's light that brings strength. There is light that draws others to it. And it's the light of Jesus. How many of you guys want to be a part of that? Listen, may we be greater than 20 in our shine at Makers Church. Come on, may we be greater than 20 with our shine at Makers Church. If you believe that, say amen. Now let's go further, because this is important. Not only can you get involved in outreach, which you need to get involved in outreach. We have an amazing team that does so many things. All those ministry partners, go check that out today before you leave. But you're also called into the world. How many of you guys know that we have different occupations? In this room today, we've got doctors, we've got ministers, we've got accountants, we've got IT, we've got people that own their own business, people for work for businesses, you name it. We've got every kind of occupation present right now. But how many of you guys know, just like we have different occupations, we have the same vocation? Come on, you're calling. Listen, you may do it a different way, but your calling is to advance the kingdom of God. Your vocation is to see the gospel of the kingdom continue to spread everywhere that you go. And guess what? Nobody can do your share for you. Because God, do you even know right now you're not at your job to make money? You know that, right? Well, pastor, well, how? No. Well, if God is your provider, God's gonna meet your needs. But if you think you're at your job just to make money, you're grossly mistaken. God put you there so you could be a light in the darkness. God put you there to shine. Somebody say shine. Is everybody with me? Let me show you quickly. So I want to show you something, because this is important. This is super important as we understand this. Just like God calls us to go into our communities, to go into our city, to see these things, I want you to understand something today. We have been sent to shine in the world. And listen, not just in certain places, but in every place that is influential in our society. Every place that's influential. So let's quickly see this. How many of you guys know there are seven areas that dictate the formation of every culture on the earth? Did you know that? There are seven areas. Now, they may vary in nature within each culture. All seven of these influences are present. Here they are. There's names some people give them. We call them the seven mountains of societal influence. There's seven of them. Throw them on the screen. Religion, family, education, government, arts and entertainment, media, and business. Those seven things, you know what those are? And I can show you from the Bible. I don't have a lot of time to do that. Those seven things are the kingdoms of this world. Those things are. Those seven societal influential things, they shape every culture and every nation in our entire world. And guess what? God desires for his people to go into every one of those places and be influential for the kingdom. Did you know that? God desires to send spirit-filled men and women into every one of those places of societal influence. You say, Pastor, that's not true. You want to know why that's not true anymore? Because the church got out of those places and they said, no, we just need to stay in the mountain of religion. We need to stay in the mountain of religion and let those things take care of themselves. But how many of you guys know Jesus designed us to have dominion in the earth? Go back to Genesis. Genesis, the Bible said, he said, be fruitful and multiply, have dominion in the earth. What does that mean? He wants us to rule and reign together. He wants us not to rule for ourselves, but rule in the name of Jesus. And he wants us to go into every one of these places, into these seven mountains of societal influence that we can see. And these are the kingdoms of the world. And so understand something, and we don't talk about this a lot. How many of you guys know there is something beyond salvation? It's called occupation. Come on. Beyond salvation is occupation. Luke 19, 13, here's what Jesus said. He said, occupy until I come. Luke 19, 13, that's a military term. It means to hold, to control, to reside. It's always for the purpose of advancement. See, here's what's happened. As the church developed the mentality of just hanging on, we learned how to make churches big, but we forgot how to advance the kingdom. We learned how to grow churches and have bigger buildings, but we did not equip ourselves to go into the world to make disciples and make a difference. If you want to make disciples and make a difference, it can't just happen here. It's got to be in the government and in business and in arts and entertainment and in media and education. That's where those things happen together. But we've got to say yes to going into the world again. We've got to say yes to going into the world again. So here's what's going to happen. Right now, our ushers are going to help me. We formed something, and we've created, and you're going to get this handout right now. It talks about the seven mountains of societal influence. Now, we've got enough at least for one per couple, so help us out with that. But it's an overview of what this is talking about, scripture for what it means. It highlights the seven mountains of influence, and even on the back, it gives you phases of how you begin to climb those mountains in Jesus' name. It shows you how to do those things. Pastor, why are you being so intentional about this? Because it's time for the church to shine again in the world. Come on. It's time for the church to shine again in the world. We cannot be so focused just about stuff right here that we forget. When we shine in the world, what does the Bible say in Matthew 5:16? People see what we do and they glorify our Father who is in heaven. If you believe that, somebody say amen. So I want you to see this document. We're not going to go through the whole thing this morning, but I really want you to take it home and read it, talk about it, begin to pray about it, because here's something I'm going to tell you. Every believer is called into one of these mountains. Come on. Every believer is called into one of these mountains. Some believers are called into multiple mountains. Because God has literally, he has anointed you and he has equipped you to go into the world to shine. If you believe that, somebody say amen. So you can see there are these mountains of societal influence that God desires us to go and establish the culture of the kingdom. And listen, all of these places, listen, they can be influenced on local, regional, national, and international levels. Did you know that? Local. What does that mean? Pastor, I feel like we want to see the mountain of education changed in our nation. Then go run for your local school board. Because that's where change starts. Well, Pastor, I want to see our government continue to hold kingdom principles. Well, go try to be a part of your local government. See, so many times we say, well, we can't make a difference if we don't get to the peak of the mountain. Did you know there are several parts of mountains? And listen, some of us aren't ready for the peak because that peak is full of things that we've never dealt with before. So maybe there's just a process that God puts us on and he says, no, I need to train you here. And so every time you have a chance for a promotion, you're ready for that next level. That's what God's calling us into, church. We're supposed to shine in the world for the kingdom. We're supposed to shine in the world for the kingdom, but it starts when we say yes. It starts when we say yes. It starts when we say, I'm committed to being not the statistic, but the standard. I'm committed to being greater than 20. Come on, if you believe that, somebody say amen. Now, I want to show you a couple verses, then we're going to pray together. Did you guys know that God actually gave a prophetic promise about this mountain mandate in his word? Because how many of you guys know if the mountains of the world are here, if the kingdoms of the world are present, there's also a kingdom of God that's real also. Okay? Let me show you. I'm going to show you two things. It's in this packet. If you want to cheat and go ahead of me, and that's fine. Don't do it. I'll find you. Okay? Two things. God's already issued a promise, and God's already gave the plan. Are you ready? Here it is. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2. How funny that we're in the year 2022, and we're in Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2. See this. It shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. Do you see the revelation in that text? Amazingly, that so many people call these the seven mountains of influence. And God says, in the latter days. Are we in the latter days? 100% we are. That the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established beside, on top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. That happens when the people of God say, it's not just about what I do when I get with my church family. It's how I shine in the world for the kingdom. That's the promise. Now let's talk about the plan. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10. And look what it says. Look what the Apostle Paul, in the anointing of the Holy Spirit, he says, this is the plan. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ. Everything in heaven and on earth. Now, let's go to Ephesians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. Notice, he said, this is the plan. At the right time, he's going to bring everything together under the authority of Jesus. But look at this. God's purpose in all this was to use the church to display his wisdom in its rich variety. Are you ready? Hang on. To all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was his eternal plan, which he carried out through Christ Jesus, our Lord. You say, why is that scripture so important? For the church to be on display to the unseen rulers and authorities that are in the world. Guess who is ruling and reigning in the places of societal influence? It's not the people of God. It's the evil rulers of this world. When you look through that packet of information that you'll see the demonic spirits that are operating and flourishing in all of those mountains. You want to know why? Because Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 says that we're not fighting against people, but we are fighting against unseen rulers. Look right here. But against principalities, powers, against the rulers of darkness, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Now see this. What does that mean? That means God's already issued a promise and God's given us the plan. But you know what he can't do? He can't make you participate. He can't make you step into it. You know whose job that is? Yours. Ours. The family and the army of God in the earth being committed together to saying, we're going to be greater than 20. we're going to shine in the world for the kingdom of God with every part of who we are. If you believe that, somebody say amen. 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 Come on, let's stand to our feet all over the room today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Go to that last slide, Darby, that has our prayer for today. We're going to pray this prayer today. We're going to pray three specific things. Because I'm going to be very, very transparent just for a minute. I know what time it is. Hang on. We haven't been intentional about shining in the world for the kingdom. We haven't been intentional. God says this is the season to be intentional. And here's how we're going to do this today. We're going to make a commitment and we're going to ask God to do three things. We're going to ask him to awaken inside of us the places he's calling us to go, to prepare us to go, and then to send us. Send us. Somebody say send. To send us. Because the truth is if you're not awakened to the reality of who you are in Jesus, and you're not awakened that there is an earthly assignment on your life to advance the kingdom, you'll never prepare for it, and you'll certainly never go there. But you say, Lord, awaken us, prepare us, and send us. Send us where? Not just to serve and do outreaches. Yes, we need them, but send us into the world. Some of you are already in the mountain of influence that God wants you to be, but you're going to be awakened so you can actually do it on purpose for his purpose. Some of you haven't gotten there yet, but you need to say, Lord, awaken me to where you're calling me. Prepare me, and God, send me that I may shine and people would see my good deeds and glorify you who is in heaven. That's how we commit ourselves to saying, not some of us, not the minority doing the majority, but we're greater than 20. All of us, each of us and all of us say yes to shining in the world for the kingdom of God. If you believe that, say amen. So I want you right now, I want everyone to lift your hands. Come on, high to heaven. I want you to take a minute and I just want you to tell the Lord that you're ready to shine. Come on, tell him. Say, Lord, we're ready to shine. Come on, if you know that you haven't been, take a minute and say, Lord, forgive me. God, forgive me for not shining for the kingdom. Lord, forgive us, God, for not going into the world and thinking it's someone else's responsibility. Lord, forgive us, God, for not shining the light, God, that you've bestowed upon us. Father, let us be bright for the kingdom again. Let us shine bright for Jesus again. Everywhere that we go, God, no matter where we are, no matter who we're with, God, even into the places of societal influence, Father, your church has not been relegated to one spot, but you have called us and desired to send us into every place of societal influence. And so, Lord, today we pray, awaken our hearts again, awaken our spirits again. God, begin to prepare us and shape us and mold us, God, for what you desire to do. And Father, may we say yes when you say go. God, send us, send us, send us into those places in Jesus' name. Jesus, we say yes to you. Come on, if that's you and you say, Lord, send me, you might as well go ahead and say, I say yes, Lord. I say yes, Lord. I say yes, Lord. We say yes, Lord. We say yes, Lord. I want to take a minute and I want to call out those mountains of influence. Some of you already know that you're called into them. I can tell you, for me, I've learned that I'm definitely called into two mountains of influence. I'm called into religion, hello, and I'm called into family. Those two things, man, I'm so passionate. Listen, I'm going to tell you, well, how do I know? If you're learning, see where something either makes you really excited or makes you really angry. Because those may be the very places that God's calling you to bring a change and to be a leader. But I'm going to call those out. And I want you to just, I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to literally just prick your heart. And that you can even take what you've been given today in that handout, you can read it, and you can begin to pray and learn. And listen, sometimes you gotta discover and study on your own. Come on now. And say, Lord, help me to learn. God, let me see where you're calling me. And then you begin to prepare. Because I'm telling you, it's the latter days. And God desires for the mountain of the kingdom to sit on the kingdoms of this world. And that's our opportunity to shine bright for the kingdom. Amen. Come on, I want you to close your eyes, lift your hands. I want to pray specifically. And then we're going to sing. And we're going to pray one more time about something else. Father, you know the places that you are calling your people into. Holy Spirit, you know the gifts that you have given us. And while that you have given us so we can serve each other, you've also given us gifts to take and shine in the world for the kingdom. So Lord, today, for those that have called or are being called into the mountain of religion, God, awaken them right now. God, those that have been called into the mountain of religion, awaken their spirits right now. God, just begin to prick their heart to say yes, God, to going and doing great things, even if it's new things. God, for those that have been called into the mountain of education, Lord, awaken their spirits in Jesus' name. God, for those that have been called into the mountain of government, Lord, I pray, prick their hearts. God, let them say yes. God, even if it's never been in their family line, God, maybe you're calling them to be trailblazers for the generations of their family. God, if they're called, God, into the mountain of government, God, may they say yes. God, if they're called into media, God, may they say yes. If they're called into arts and entertainment, God, may they say yes. God, if they're called into education, God, may they say yes. God, if you're calling them into business, God, may they say yes. And God, I pray, no matter what level we start at, God, may we move with passion. God, may we have persistence. God, may we have perseverance, Lord, because we know you are a God of process, but you're also a God of promise, and you desire for us to say yes, God, so we can step into the world and shine for the kingdom. So, Lord, awaken hearts right now to where you are calling your saints, to where you are calling sons and daughters. And Lord, I pray, God, as we hear your voice, may we not respond with fear, but may we respond with faith. God, I pray courage and boldness on your church. Courage and boldness to say yes and walk in the world and shine for the kingdom in Jesus' name.